coming up on New York Now, fireworks at the joint budget hearings.
If government doesn't have a way to fix something, no problem, tax. No problem, ticket. No problem, fine.
Republican hopefuls for 2018 make their pitch at the annual conservative conference.
Are you thinking about running for governor next year?
Absolutely.
And we'll go one-on-one with Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan.
It's not the first time this has come up. So if someone says to me, have you thought about running for governor? I said, yeah, of course.
It's next on New York Now, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program. This is New York Now.
Hi, everyone. Glad you could join us here on New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan.
And I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union. Well, from Tin Cup Brigade to pushback against President Trump, it's been quite a week.
This is one of the busiest weeks of the year for those of us covering the state capitol, as you can tell by looking back at the week's headlines.
Bill de Blasio kicked off what is called Tin Cup Day, where big city mayors from across New York come to the joint budget hearings to oftentimes ask for more money.
We see our role as continuing to be an economic engine for the state as a whole and for the region. And obviously, we are the state's primary gateway to the rest of the world. And we know we have to play that role well.
As is customary, the mayor praised many parts of the state budget early on. He also singled out the assembly's desire to strengthen and deepen the millionaire's tax. De Blasio then offered up a new revenue stream for the city along those same lines.
I believe the time is now right to enact a mansion tax for New York City high-value home sales. That means homes that start with a sales price of $2 million or higher. The people who would be affected can certainly afford this additional tax, and the revenue would be used to keep 25,000 senior citizens in their home at an affordable level.
One of the memorable moments during the day came from Senator Simca Felder, a Democrat who conferences with the GOP. He criticized the mayor for the city's plastic bag law that goes into effect later this month, which puts a 5-cent fee on most plastic and paper shopping bags.
I think New Yorkers are tired of being insulted and lied to. The debate about the plastic bag tax, fee, charge, whatever you want to call it, has nothing to do with whether people care or don't care about the environment, or whether people care or don't care about climate change. That is not the issue. I don't believe there's anyone here that wants to hurt the environment. The issue is whether we have to be punitive every time that there is an issue. And that's the way things go regularly. If government doesn't have a way to fix something, no problem, tax. No problem, ticket. No problem, fine.
Our city, our state, our nation, we are so far behind right now where we need to be to protect our earth, and it's going to have devastating impacts if we don't address it on all levels. And what we saw with Sandy is just an example of things to come. So we must do this, and we have now even more urgency because we don't know whether the federal government's going to take a step backwards on addressing climate change. So I don't think there's any contradiction in saying to you that this is an urgent matter, as are a host of other things that we are trying to do simultaneously to address climate change.
De Blasio's testimony and Q&A with lawmakers lasted over 3 hours. He did not take questions from the media. Later in the week, it was Howard Zemsky's turn. The CEO and president of Empire State Development faced numerous questions about what used to be called Startup New York, but is now named the Excelsior Business Program. It provides up to 10 years with no state taxes for companies in specific zones, mostly near state universities. A report last year found that despite a $53 million advertising campaign, the program had created just 408 jobs in 2 years.
I don't mind spending money. I like to get a return on the investment of the money that I spend. And that's my question. What was the return on the investment of that $53 million?
Well, the return on investment is the way we've changed dramatically the perceptions of New York State as a place to do business. So
would that be like the Tax Foundation's report that we're 49th out of 50 states as far as tax climate goes? Is that the reputation that we've changed?
The reputation that we've changed is that we now have 4.9% unemployment. We have an
amazing
economy.
How much of that is due to the fact that the national economy and the national unemployment rate has improved? And we're riding that wave
some of it, but New York State's doing a lot better than actually many of the states in the Northeast region.
I just don't understand. My question is, how are you justifying, and how is this governor justifying, rebranding it yet again?
We think it's a simplification of the program, and it fits seamlessly with Excelsior, which has a very strong brand here in New York. And you start out in the Excelsior business program. You can graduate to the Excelsior job program. Excelsior is not exactly a name that doesn't have brand equity. It's been used and is familiar for hundreds of years. And, you know, it's a reset. And from my standpoint, you know, it's a curious environment and all of your anger about it, you know, I live upstate now for 35 years. I think it's a great opportunity to connect industry with academia.
In other news, Governor Andrew Cuomo made one public appearance in Albany this week, speaking at the annual Family Planning Advocates Day. With President Donald Trump naming a new Supreme Court justice this week, there was a concern among advocates about the fate of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion. The governor offered up an idea to ease those fears.
As they threaten this nation with a possible Supreme Court nominee who will reverse Roe v. Wade, I want them to know today, if that's what they do, we're going to protect Roe v. Wade in the state of New York. I propose today a constitutional amendment to write Roe v. Wade into the New York State Constitution so that nobody can change it, no Supreme Court nominee, because we're going to protect a woman's right to choose in the state of New York. And let's put it on the ballot, and let's let the people decide, because this is still a democracy. And New Yorkers want to protect a woman's right to choose.
Are you thinking about running for governor next year?
Absolutely.
Republican hopefuls for 2018 had a chance over 2 days to make their early case for governor. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, the gubernatorial nominee in 2014, both spoke Monday at the annual Conservative Conference in suburban Albany. In addition to talking about themselves, they were peppered with questions about President Trump's controversial executive order on immigration.
I think it was rolled out wrongly. I think there weren't enough people who understood what was happening, including border agents and custom agents, and that really led to a lot of confusion. I don't think it's a Muslim ban. That's what it's being made out to be. You have 7 countries where you have, whether people like it or not, or will admit it or not, that is where the festering of the terrorism is right now. There are many, many countries that are not under this ban that are Muslim majority.
I think the concerns need to be addressed. I mean, there's no question that the rollout certainly could have been better. I'm interested in ensuring the absolute safety and security of every New Yorker, and I'm hopeful our federal representatives will work with the administration to ensure that that rights are protected.
All right, busy, busy week, as you can tell, and that's just what made the program. Before we get to our interview with Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan, let's analyze some of the news this week. And to do that, we bring in our friend and colleague from New York State Public Radio, Karen DeWitt. I think probably the thing that jumped out at viewers the most was the grilling that ESD's Howard Zemsky got.
He was really getting it from both sides, getting it from Steve McLaughlin on the Republican side, who asked questions about, it almost sounded like he was referring to Prince, you know, the artist formerly known, or the program formerly known as Startup New York. But also there are lots of questions from Democrats, including, interestingly, about the transparency of the Regional Economic Development Council program. Their votes to recommend certain grant applications are not public, and And Zemsky really didn't have a very good answer for that except to say, like, oh, well, I mean, it would make them uncomfortable and they would be put in a bad situation if their votes were known. It's like, these are hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're really seeing a vulnerability here. What's left unsaid is, like, 9 of Cuomo's former associates are under indictment for bid rigging, all kinds of corruption charges in connection with the economic development projects. So they see a weakness. The governor's not getting along with the legislature very well. They're still mad about the failed pay raise back in December. There was supposed to be a special session, then there wasn't, and they feel like Cuomo botched it. So that was all being played out. A lot of times in Albany, these things are behind the scenes, but it was sort of played out in public with poor Howard Zemsky kind of having to be the brunt of all of this.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio testifying earlier in the week. Casey, how do we think he fared in his, I think, fourth time as mayor?
Well, I believe this was the shortest time that he had to appear.
A 3.5 hours.
Yeah, they kind of constrained it because it went on and on and on last year. And he did very well, and he did offer more pushback, especially in a fairly heated exchange with Terrence Murphy, the Hudson Valley Republican, who basically referred to sort of the investigations of the mayor and his political fundraising, where it was attempting to flip the Senate, and how, well, I don't trust you, and why should we give you, why should we extend mayoral control of New York City schools to you if we don't trust you? And de Blasio said, hey, look, if you're going to opt for a system of chaos and corruption, which, referring to the way the city schools were run before mayoral control came in, hey, that's on you.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of hates each other right now, it seems like, came out in these hearings.
Yeah, and you're right. I thought he did handle himself better this year, and he was pushing back in a respectful way. Since we last saw our viewers, we had Donald Trump's executive order on immigration. What has been the reaction from Governor Andrew Cuomo and Attorney General Eric Schneiderman?
They're against it.
Yes.
Really, really, really against it. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's joined the lawsuit against it. Cuomo's tried to do some things that maybe are a little more symbolic, saying his port authority is not going to participate in, you know, any detaining any of the people who are detained. But I think the Attorney General really has more power here to actually push back against it.
And you saw many of the Republicans who came to the conservative gathering sort of stumbling to sort of explain it and saying, well, you know, the rollout wasn't handled well.
Right. That was the key word.
Yeah, but let's, in other words, well, it's style over substance. But increasingly you're seeing from the business community, from, needless to say, lots of even local groups, you're seeing pushback to this.
And then there's worries about the Canadian border. Even Representative Chris Collins, who's a big Trump supporter, is saying you can't be that strict at the Canadian border because people go back and forth between Buffalo and Toronto, and it's going to be a big mess if you shut that down.
Now he has an issue that really confronts him directly, being out there in Western New York.
Yep, bound to happen.
All right, well, let's turn to our featured newsmaker interview this week. Karen, you sat down with Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan from Long Island.
I've been trying to get that interview for over a year. I think Flanagan's trying to raise his profile a little bit, as you will see in the interview from the first question that we ask him. Senate Leader John Flanagan, thanks for coming on New York Now. It's been a little while.
Yes, it has, but thank you for having me.
So we're going to start right off with politics. No beating around the bush. Newsday, your hometown paper, had a report that you were exploring a run for governor. Is that true?
I have nothing to do with that story, and I want to be very clear because I have been fortunate in so many different ways. Just to have your name advanced for something like that should be humbling, and I do consider it an honor. And I don't want to sound anything other than respectful. It's not the first time this has come up. So if someone says to me, have you thought about running for governor? I said, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, in this type of job. And I thought about running for governor before I became the leader. When I was in the Senate, I had people when I was in the Assembly saying stuff like that to me. So I've said, yes, of course I have. Second, best job in public service. I've said that, and I've quoted on that for years. Third, it's like playing for the Yankees in the World Series. Now, back to real life.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is the job I have, which is 24/7, all-consuming, working on the budget, and that is my absolute overarching number one priority.
But you have been adopting a higher profile lately. On January 4th, the first day of session, you said you were going to stand up for the primacy and independence of the Senate. Is that a reaction to Governor Cuomo? You've had kind of a falling out in late December over that failed special session, and lawmakers were hoping to get a pay raise. That all fell apart, which we won't go into the total history of that because that would probably take the rest of the interview. But, you know, is that a reaction to, you feel like Governor Cuomo is trying to assert himself too much at the expense of the legislature?
This is not a case of first impression. I was certainly much more direct on the floor, and I don't think my remarks were dissimilar to how any other member feels, both Democrat and Republican. And yeah, sometimes we have to remind people of the role that we play. And as I said, we're a separate constituted constitutional branch in the state of New York. And you know, we want to make sure that we are doing our job. And if I have to say, yes, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And ultimately, we need to do the people's business. So I think you may have heard me use this phrase, there's nothing wrong with having healthy friction.
What's your relationship with the governor right now?
I've enjoyed a good relationship with the governor. People are looking, you know, for bitterness and stuff like that. Have we had challenging conversations? Of course we have. And it's been on really more policy than anything else. We talk, we meet, I've met him up here, I meet him in the city, have discussions with him privately, have discussions with him with the other leaders. He certainly invited us over to the mansion for our conference. So people want us to get things done and work together. Is it perfect? No.
Yeah, and you've got the budget in 2 months.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk about some of those issues that are going to be in the budget. The governor wants to extend the millionaire's tax. The Assembly Democrats want to go even further and put some new tiers in for people making $5 million or $10 million or up to $100 million. your position on that?
Well, I've made it clear that I don't support it, but it should be more in the general rubric of how we approach public policy and what do we think about taxes. I think all New Yorkers pay too many taxes. I much more want to focus on tax cuts across the board. And if you look, the middle class tax cuts that were enacted last year, that came from us. That came from our conference. So when there's $800 million in taxes and fees and the Assembly takes a position that they want to raise it even higher, I don't want to do that. I think we can make the investments we need to in education, transportation, environment, healthcare.
Well, that's the point that the governor's making. He wants to spend $1 billion more on schools. We have a budget deficit. Essentially, he's saying, you know, how are you going to pay for that? So how would you pay for that? That's like a $3.5 billion gap if you put all that in together, if you didn't raise taxes on the richest.
No, there are a couple of assumptions that, frankly, I don't agree with. But the governor's own financial plan shows that if we enacted what he wants, there'll be a $5 billion surplus. It doesn't just say this is going to cover costs. And when we talk about this fiscal year, the extension of the millionaire's tax generates $700 million. It's not 3.5 because they're talking more down the road. But again, the mantra from our conference and the orientation from our members is if we do things on workers' compensation, burdensome regulations, unemployment insurance, there's so many things that we can do to change the economic structure in this state, which I believe will engender more jobs, which will create more revenue.
You said a couple of weeks ago that you weren't ruling it out. Nothing was in, nothing was out. Is that still true? There's no line in the sand over the millionaire's tax?
We are right now going through internally. We've really just started an in-depth internal process in our own conference. So I am very careful, like last year when we talked about GEA, I was adamant about that because I knew exactly where everyone was. I don't want to get out.
And that's part of the school aid, the gap.
Yeah, but I don't want to get out on issues that we have not fully vetted in our conference.
So what about free tuition at public colleges for SUNY and CUNY? The governor's proposed that. Is that okay as it is? I don't think you're against it, right? You think it needs tweaking?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that I agree with the number that it's only $163 million. There's a lot of concern about that. What does this mean for private colleges and universities? They're nervous, and a lot of them feel that this is going to be an absolute detriment to them. And that should be part of our consideration.
Because it would favor the public colleges, obviously, more.
Yeah, but if you take a number of small regional colleges in the private sector that are teetering on the brink financially now. And what we should be doing is making sure that people have access and affordability. So I'm going to give you two names. No one. It's not even close. No one has been more outspoken about college affordability than Ken LaValle. incessant, unrelenting.
The longtime Senate Higher Education Committee chair, right?
Yes, I should have clarified that. But tuition assistance, capital for the campuses, access, doing things like making sure we have enough faculty so that students can graduate in 4 years. And that allows them to come out with less debt. And then you take a colleague of mine like Jim Seward. Jim Seward is the chair in the Insurance Committee, but as a sitting senator, he probably has more public and private colleges than any other member. So I want to listen to those folks. And, you know, I've listened to students. I could very easily say, sure, free. Free's cool. Mm-hmm. But we all know that free is not really free because somebody's going to end up paying for it. And if it's the taxpayers, you know, if you giveth on one hand but take away with the other, what's the ultimate benefit?
President Trump, you went to his inauguration. It's been almost 2 weeks now that he's been in office, and a lot of things have happened, a lot of polarizing things, a lot of controversial things. What do you think of the job he's doing so far? Are things that you agree with and disagree with?
I think there's an element of people being like shocked just in the general notion and concept that he's actually keeping his word. Well, he said he was going to do something.
Well, yeah, he definitely has done everything that he said he was going to do.
I don't know about everything.
Not everything, but many, many of the things. Nothing has been a surprise if you listen to what he said in the campaign.
True, but I think...
But it still has shocked a lot of people.
It does, and it is something that we should all pay attention to. There were times when I couldn't stand what Republicans would say about President Obama. Even though I may have vehemently disagreed with him, he is the President of the United States. He was, and now Donald Trump is president. And I know I'm Captain Obvious saying that, but I believe that the president deserves a chance. And as a leader in New York and as a Republican leader, I'm not going to just gratuitously excoriate everything that he says and does. But I also want to be clear. A lot of these types of things, whether you're talking about immigration or issues of that level, I'm not going to jump up and down and say, this is exactly how the Army should be run, because that's not my job. So at the federal level, we have a competent delegation here from the state of New York. You clearly have one of the senior members of the Senate with Senator Schumer. So it'll be more interesting to watch the their tete-a-tete, or however one may say it, back and forth. But I want the president to succeed, because I think that's good for the country. Do I think that, you know, tone and content periodically be improved? Yes.
So you've been here for a long time. This is, I think, your 30th year in office, 31st?
I have started my 31st year.
You started when you were 10, right? You were
yes.
A child prodigy, right? We've been looking through the Inside Albany, the predecessor to this program's footage. We've uncovered a lot of things, and one of them is some footage from you. This is the quiz portion of this interview. Can you identify what this footage is, what bill you were talking about, what the issue was?
Oh, my God.
The premise is that there's a major problem, and part of it is based on the fact that there are substantial losses in the individual market. You have not demonstrated that to me.
They are projections.
I was the ranking Republican on the Insurance Committee, and that was a debate at a committee meeting about community rating. I'm sorry, I'm just going.
Wow. So we did not show you this before, so you remembered the details of that. You certainly were more fiery in those days. Or is that the role of the Assembly Republican you're supposed to be, right?
You know, I was the ranking Republican on the Ways and Means Committee for 4 years and used to go back and forth with Chairman Farrell, for whom I have great respect. Mm-hmm. That issue that you were referring to was a healthcare issue. Mm-hmm. It had to do with the small markets, and that was a very, very contentious issue.
This week's New York Now poll question asks, would you like to see Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan run for governor? Log on to our website and let us know, nynow.org. Last week, we asked if you approved of President Trump's plan to build a wall along the Mexico border. And 75% said no. A ton of responses to this one. You can read them on our website as well. While you're on nynow.org, you can watch all of our past programs from the last 6 years if you've got a lot of time to spare. And you can follow links to us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where our handle is @nynow_PBS. You can also follow Casey's work on the Capitol Confidential blog, which our site links to, and you can also find it at timesunion.com.
All right. Karen, what was your biggest takeaway from that interview?
Well, the fact that he recognized that video clip immediately. I know you've been going through the old Inside.
That was a gem.
Albany footage, and you've showed me pictures of things that I've done, and I'd be in the background of something, and I'll look at it and say, I have no idea what that is. But right away, he knew the bill. He knew everything about it. So I was impressed by that.
And what was what struck me, Casey, is that usually when you ask someone, are you running for governor? They're like, well, I've got so much on my plate right now. He addressed it for a good, 20 seconds before he pivoted to, all right, yes, I'm still Senate Majority Leader. That surprised me a little bit.
Which is a reversal of the way that Attorney General Andrew Cuomo would always discuss the prospect of him becoming governor, and now the way that Governor Andrew Cuomo addresses the question of whether or not he would ever be interested in running for the White House in 2020. He always, the first thing out of his mouth was, I'm interested in the job I'm doing right now. And with Flanagan, you saw that reversed.
All right, we'll have to see if that comes to fruition here in 2018. That's going to do it for us. Today, we say goodbye with video of two snowshoers from St. Lawrence County. With Karen DeWitt and Casey Siler, I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on your local PBS station.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET.